Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 16. Book of Job, chapter 16. We'll read the first six verses together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you that the Holy Spirit of God's presence is here. Father, there are a lot of needs here, a lot of hurting people, a lot of people that have heartaches, a lot of people that have unanswered questions. Lord, there's no way one person could meet all those needs, but you could. You could use our preacher to do just that. Please help our people. Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. May we receive what we need today to help somebody else, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I want to talk to you about this. I'll give you the title, and then the message itself will unfold as we go along. It's called, You Choose the Wrong Comforter. You Choose the Wrong Comforter. Earlier, we read from the book of Job. Now, Job was a great man. He was married. He had 10 children. And he was a very, very wealthy man. Any of you that know anything about Job, you would know that historically he was known for suffering. He has suffered an awful lot. As you read through the story of Job, you'll see it. Well, Satan wanted to test Job, if you will. And God said to Satan, you may do so, but you may not take his life. Next thing you know, Satan is bringing his army against Job, his army of imps, whatever you want to say, but Job is under attack. Well, Job had many oxen. He was a businessman. He had many donkeys. And one day, as Job was going about his business, Satan brought the enemy against Job and his oxen and his donkeys, and they were all stolen from him. So that portion of his business was all taken away. Not only that, all the servants that attended to those oxen and those donkeys, they were all put to death. And so here Job is, he gets up one morning, as his day is progressing, somebody comes to him and says, Master Job, the oxen, they've all been stolen. The donkeys, they've all been stolen. And everybody helping you to run that part of the business, all your servants, and his servants were his friends as well, all your servants or friends, they're dead. They're lying in the field and they're slaughtered. The enemy came and sold away the animals and put to death the attendants. Well, it was a tough day for Job. Wasn't long, though, another messenger comes to Job. And that messenger says, fire came, and the fire burned up all of your sheep. All the sheep, they're burnt. And not only that, the servants or the employees that were taking care of those sheep, they too are dead. Oh, Job had just faced a major heartache. He had to face the loss of the oxen and the loss of the donkeys. Part of the business is destroyed. But not only that, his friends, his servants were put to death. He turns around and fire comes, and fire kills part of another portion of his business. The sheep are gone, and those servants are now dead. Job's heart is heavy. Boy, is he got punched with the right hand, and now somebody comes along and hits him with the left hand, and it's been a combination punch, and he's about to go down. And about that time, another enemy came to Job and to his belonging and friends. That enemy stole all of his camels and killed all the servants that would take care of those camels. Now, This wasn't some little farm with an acre of land. We're talking about Job was probably one of the wealthiest men on the face of the earth. All of the camels, not a few, but a herd. All of the oxen, all of the sheep, all of the donkeys. And now all of these servants, and we're not talking about two or three people attending to thousands of animals. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people that are now slaughtered because the enemy has attacked Job. The Bible says that all of Job's children, and he had 10 kids, and they were married, and they had families, and I don't know, probably grandchildren, I'm not sure, but they were all in one house, and they were there. Maybe it was some sort of a family get-together. Maybe they were all there mourning the fact that Dad's business was falling apart, and all of Dad's servants and friends were dying, and they were getting ready for a big funeral of all of these people that Job loved. The Bible says that while Job was at home, all of his kids happened to be at one house at one time, and a wind came, like a tornado. When that wind came, it hit that house where all of Job's family was, and the house collapsed on his entire family, and it killed every last one of them. Now picture it now. Job's entire business has fallen apart. He had diversified. Some of you know what that means. He had not taken all of his money and put it into one stalk of sheep, but he diversified. He'd spread it out. That way he, you know, if something happened, if a disease came and it contaminated his sheep, he still had his oxen and his camels and his donkeys. But what had happened to Job is every portion of his business had collapsed. Diversification had not helped him because everything where he had diversified had now been destroyed. But not only that, all of his servants, I mean, they'd no sooner gotten back from the funeral home and planning all the funeral for those that had attended to the donkeys and the sheep. They find out that now the camel servants are dead. And then yet another group had died. And now somebody comes to him and says, Job, you better sit down. It's your whole family. All your kids. They're all gone. They're all gone. They're all dead. The Bible says that Satan even went further. Said, I'm gonna make you miserable, Job. I'm gonna make you miserable. I want you to deny God. I want you to turn on God. And the Bible says that the next thing you know, Satan brought boils to Job. They were called sore boils. He had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, to the point where you would find Job now. He is grieving the loss of his businesses and grieving the loss of his friends and servants, grieving the loss of his firstborn all the way to his lastborn, his sons, his daughters. And now he is covered with boils from head to toe, and you find him in a heap of ashes because the heat may bring some alleviation to the pain that his body is in from these boils. And he has an old broken piece of pottery, and he's using that pottery to scrape the boils because the boils itch. And there's pus all over his body. These are boils where there's pain, and from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, he's covered, sitting in the hot ashes, scraping himself with an old broken piece of pottery. His wife says, and I realize there are two ways of looking at this. His wife says to him, honey, curse God and die. And many people would say even his wife has turned on him. I'm not sure. It might have been just his wife saying, honey, I love you too much to watch you suffer like this. If you curse God, you know you're going to go on to heaven. Why don't you just get out of this mess? But I know this. She said, curse God and die. There's even more confusion for old Job. Was his wife turning on him? What was happening here? He loses the businesses. He loses his servants. He loses his children. He loses his health. And now his wife says, curse God and die. Job faced all of this. He faced the loss of all of this. And to be honest, it came to a point where he needed help. He needed encouragement. His spirit was down. He was facing some despair. He was facing some depression. He was down. And enters three of his so-called friends. Their names were Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, the three friends of Job.
So they all thought, well, we'll talk with him and we'll counsel him and we're going to help him. That's not really what ended up happening. They did not help him. They made it worse. They actually made it worse. I'll read to you again what we read earlier. And this is Job after his three so-called friends come along with Job's mess that he's facing. And this is what Job says. Then Job answered and said, now who is he answering? Well, I think he was answering you and I and God, but he was really answering his friends. He says this, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. What's he saying? He's saying to his friends, you came, my life, I'm down. Three friends of mine show up. They talk to me, and he says, miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answers? He said, boy, the way you've talked to me, it's incredible. I also, Job said, I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, he said, now you guys don't understand everything I've been through. And look at how you've talked to me. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. They walk in, evidently, these friends walk in, shaking their head, saying, Job, this and Job that. His spirit was down. He was depressed. He was facing some hard times. And he said, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. And though I forbear, what am I eased? He said, you are miserable comforters. You're miserable comforters. He lost everything. His three friends walk in, and when they walk out, they are more depressed when they walk out than when they, or he is more depressed when they walk out than when they walked in. What he said there, miserable comforters are ye all. I think Job was from West Virginia. Notice that, ye all, that ye all part right there. Miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. That's where I get the title of my sermon today. You choose the wrong comforters. Now, listen. Many of you have faced some devastating occurrences in your life. Some in days gone by. Many days gone by. Yet, maybe in the last year. But wait. Maybe somebody faced a difficult situation in recent days. Maybe you lost something that you love. You're hurting. You're emotionally bruised. You're lonely. You're struggling with some depression, maybe. Or you're struggling with despair and you see no light at the end of the tunnel. You're down. And life has thrown you a curveball. Hey, a good dream in life has become a bad nightmare for you. Pain seems to be a daily occurrence, and I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about emotional and relationship pains. Your heart is broken. May I remind you, both young and old alike face times when your spirit gets down some and you feel weighed down by the occurrences and the happenings of life. Teenagers have heartaches too. I really believe that most young people are not truly rebellious. Most young people are hurt and they do not know how to escape the hurt. It's adults that are rebellious. Young people, they don't know how to handle their grief. They don't know how to handle the confusion. Young people don't know how to handle the double standards in their home. You know, they come to church and hear one thing and go home and it's totally different. They don't know how to handle that. But adults, you see, adults, they're the rebellious ones. They've grown up. They know how to handle life and they choose not to handle it right. But let me remind you, young people, they too have grief. Young people, they too, their spirits get weighed down some. Teens face it. Young adults face it. There are some here today. You're out of high school, but you're not all the way to the point where maybe you're married or you have you bought a home, but you're an adult. But wait a minute, you're just barely out of your teen years, and you say, Brother Owens, I face some heartaches and some troubles. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Young married couples, you're going to face some trials and some difficulties. Those of you that are single, whether you're young or old alike, those of you that are widows or widowers, you're going to face some difficult times in life. Senior citizens face difficult times in life. Young and old alike, everybody faces some difficulty in life. Everybody does. And for some of you, life has become difficult. And let me tell you something, folks. Life is complicated enough. Don't go out and live your life for the devil and complicate your life even more. If you would live according to the Bible, you would alleviate a whole lot of complication out of your life. But every time you go and live your own way and do your own thing and act your own way and make your own decisions, you complicate your life. Hey, life is complicated enough without going out messing up your life and messing up your marriage and messing up your kids and messing up your future by listening to the devil and not staying in church and listening to God. But the complications come. Sometimes the complications of life are self-inflicted. We didn't obey. We didn't do what God wanted us to do. Sometimes the complications of life are what I call life-inflicted. Because nobody is going to get out of this life without facing some trials, some temptations and hardships. Not even Jesus Christ. He had to go through hardship. All of us do. Sometimes it's our sin. Sin will complicate your life. Some of you say, my life is so complicated. Usually lives of that nature of complication have been lives that have not been spent by serving God. Maybe it's the sin of a family member that has complicated your life. I know men and women who were decent, godly people, and their mates forsook them. And the sin of a mate complicated the life of an honest, decent Christian person. It happens. The sin of a friend, or even the sin of an enemy, has complicated your life and has been weighed down. Maybe it's not sin at all that brought you low, but you say, I need a comforter. Yes, you do. We all need a comforter, but let me recommend something to you today. Don't choose the wrong comforter. Don't choose the wrong comforter. They're just like Job said to his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. He said, miserable comforters are ye all. You know something? There are miserable comforters today. Oh, miserable comforters did not just exist in the day of Job, but miserable comforters, they exist today as well. And I say to you, don't choose the wrong comforter. There are things that you can turn to be your comforter when you're down, and they will make you even more miserable. They will ruin your life even more. They will send you deeper into despair, deeper into depression. So be careful what you turn to become your comforter. Let me say, number one, the Holy Spirit is the right comforter. The Holy Spirit of God is the right comforter. In John 14, don't you turn to it, but you listen. I'll read to you. Verse 15, it says, and if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Lord promised, I'm going to get you a comforter. You're going to need a comforter in life. Heartaches are going to come. And I want you to have a comforter to help you when you face that. In John 14, verse 25, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, there's the wrong comforter. Just like in the Old Testament, the Bible said, Job made mention, he said, miserable comforters are ye. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter, but you're not going to get what you need from the world. You're going to need to get what you need from me, the Holy Spirit of God. He said, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God said, I don't want your heart troubled. I don't want you to live your life in fear. I'm going to provide a comforter. Whatever you do, don't go to the world or don't go to the wrong comforter. Because, as Job said, by going to the wrong comforter, you're going to be miserable and your misery will be multiplied because the world's comfort is miserable comfort. He wants you to have peace. Now, he promised them that the Comforter would come to them. That Comforter would be the Holy Spirit of God. That Comforter would provide peace. Not man's peace, he said, but God's peace. Let me explain. There's a difference in man's peace and God's peace. You say, well, I have man's peace. That's good, but man's peace is tainted. God says, I will give you my peace. What's he talking about? God has a peace he had for himself. God's peace. It belongs to God. Do you know that God is not in heaven this morning biting his fingernails going, I wonder what's going to happen next. No, God's chilled out. God's in heaven saying, everything's all right in my Father's house. God's not panicked in heaven. God's not living his life like this. God is not on drugs to calm himself down. Not at all. Oh, no. He said, I am not going to give you man's peace. He said, I will give you my peace. And God is relaxed. Everything's all right. He knows what's going to happen. It's going to be fine. You see, that peace comes by way of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you got saved, the Bible teaches that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, he moved into you, and then he was sealed there. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved into you. God lives in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's sealed there. There's a song. It's a great song. It's hardly used anymore. The song is in our songbook. It's called The Comforter Has Come. Jesus promised he was going to heaven, but he was going to leave the Holy Spirit behind to help comfort the disciples and everybody else. And may I tell you, I have good news for you. The Comforter has come. The Holy Spirit of God is available, and he can comfort you. This song, you've heard it before. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. Wherever human hearts and human woes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. In this verse here, it says, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Hope spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Hey, Christian, some of you need to wake up and realize something. The promise made by God that he would not leave you comfortless, it has come to pass. The Comforter has come. If you got saved, the Comforter came, he's sealed inside your heart, and all the comfort you need is available through the Holy Spirit of God. The comfort you need is found within you. If you're saved, you have something that can comfort you more than everything this world has to offer. If you're unsaved, I'm sorry. You will have to use the wrong comforters, because that's your only chance. Unless you get saved. Now, if you get saved, you can have the same comforter a Christian has. But if you're not saved, you do not have the comforter sealed within you. The Holy Spirit will use God's Word to comfort you. The Holy Spirit will use the preaching of God's Word to comfort you. I had a lady come to see me, and she said, Brother Owens, she said, when I get to church and I'm sitting in church, suddenly it seems like everything's all right. I just feel like everything's all right. Now, that is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, which makes a group of people that live in a wicked world come to a local New Testament church where the Holy Spirit of God shows up, that calms us all, and it says, I think it's going to be okay. We're going to go on. We can live on for God. But that's what the Holy Spirit will do. The problem is, too many people don't choose the Holy Spirit as their comforter. Too many people choose the wrong comforters. Remember, the lost person, if you're here today and you're not born again, you do not have God within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a panicked life. You're not going to know what to do about your life. I understand why lost people choose the wrong comforters. I don't understand why saved people choose the wrong comforters. That doesn't make sense to me. Christians too often replace the internal comforter with external comforts. and we don't find ourselves comforted in our time of need. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And let me make something very clear this morning. I'm not talking about a Pentecostal religion of tongues and rolling in the aisle. I'm not talking about that. That is unscriptural. And some of you need to say amen more often to that. It's unscriptural. I'm not talking about the assemblies of God and they're talking in tongues and their emotionalism. Now, I happen to believe in some emotions, but you better not do what your heart says, because the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked and who can know it? You better base what you believe on the Word of God. But I am not going to allow that group to steal the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God from me. I will not stand up here and use the word Holy Ghost and cower in fear that someone would misrepresent me or be misrepresented by me. I believe in the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that He is sealed within man. I believe the Holy Spirit of God can fall on a preaching service and God can do something marvelous in that service. But I don't think the result is a bunch of emotionalism, and I don't think the result is somebody speaking in another tongue. That is not what the Bible teaches. I will not apologize for that statement. This is not a Pentecostal church. It's not an Assemblies of God church. It's an old-time Baptist church with a King James Bible that has a comforter. And I'm afraid, though, that folks, we don't use the comforter that's sealed within us when we run to other places to find our comfort. For instance, you ever run to chocolate for comfort? I knew you do, Brother Deere. I've got some Heath Bites. These are like little Heath bars. These are dieters Heath bars. How many of you ever had a Heath Bite? Raise your hand. God bless you. You don't know Brother Tennis? It's going to be a while before you know, buddy. You know what? I better give you something that'll keep you awake during the service. There's some chocolate here. You know, people do. They'll run to food. I'll talk about it in a little while. To comfort. We'll run to chocolate. Hey, same way with cigarettes. I am amazed. I have watched someone in a difficult situation. They step out of a building that's non-smoking, and boy, they're reaching for their pocket. Getting that cigarette. Oh. Have you seen it? All right, let me tell you something, folks. The Comforter has come. Well, we'll run to chocolate. I like these things. Come back tonight. I'm going to talk about health food. Oh, yeah. Folks, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. We choose the wrong comforters. For instance, booze is the wrong comforter. Don't replace the Holy Spirit with alcohol. You ever heard of Southern Comfort? We won't choose the Holy Spirit of God, so we'll pop open a top of liquor and down it so you can relax for a little while. Who do you think you are getting your comfort in liquor when you have the Holy Spirit of God? You have replaced God with a bottle. That is idolatry. You listen? The comforters come. Most people go get drunk because they're trying to comfort themselves. Whether they admit flat out to that or not. The comforter. The comforter. And so, you can't drink your problems away, hon. It's not going to happen. You're going to sober up. You will face it again somewhere. Wine won't heal your emotional bruises. It'll make them worse. And it may delay the inevitable, but you're going to face it sooner or later. Beer won't remove your pain. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know how you hurt yourself or who hurt you, but I'm going to tell you, booze is the wrong comforter. It's the wrong comforter. The devil said, people are going to want comfort, and they won't turn to God. I'll give them booze, and I will provide their comforter and destroy their life all the time I'm doing it. Beer won't remove your pain. Hard liquor won't help you. There are people in this building. You run to alcohol to ease your pain. You are replacing booze, or you're replacing the Holy Spirit with booze. The alcoholics of our country, you know what they need? They need to get saved, get the Holy Spirit inside them. Those of you that are Christians, you need to start calling on the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Just like the cigarette, got to have that thing. You know, you you pop that chocolate in there. That helps me. Booze is the wrong comforter. Holy Spirit has come. Bad music is the wrong comforter. People run to bad music for comfort. You listen. Oh, everybody listen to it real carefully. People run to bad music for comfort. Teenager has a fuss with mom and dad. So they go, slam the door, go in their room, put headset on, or just crank up the music to go hide in their filthy music produced by filthy musicians in a filthy way. Why? Got to get comfort somewhere. And then that bad music leads you to more bad comforters. Sex, drugs, booze, immorality. Boy, some of you do it with your country music. You run to it to find comfort. Because you say, it just calms me down. Well, where's God? Well, where's the Holy Spirit? Don't you have Him? Well, if you don't, you need to come to the altar and get saved. You know, people run to music for comfort. And may I say, good music can be used by the Holy Spirit to comfort you. But the problem with the average Christian in this house is you are building a relationship with God's music, but not with God. You say, how so? You'll run and listen to His music to comfort you, but you never pray. So you're building a relationship with His music, but not with Him. Some of you even need to get it to the point that before you run to your good music for comfort, you run to God in prayer and spend some true, genuine time with Him. He is the comfort, not some human that He used to produce music that the Holy Spirit could work through to give you comfort. He is the ultimate comforter. What kind of music do you listen to that you run and hide in it? We run and hide in that music, rather than going to God and letting God comfort us. And again, good music comforts, and I'm for good music. I'm for good music comforting us. What would be wrong with going to God? I'm against bad music comforting us. Some of you parents will let your kids run in the room and crank it up. You're just producing more rebellion in their life. And adults too, by the way. It's not just a sermon for teenagers. There are adults here that you listen to your bad music to comfort you. Just get you a little bottle of wine, a cigarette, and some bad music, and you go get yourself chilled out so you can handle your life. And you're born again? What you have done is you have taken music and put it on the throne of God, when God ought to be on that throne. It is the Holy Spirit that is your comforter. It is not booze. And when you choose booze over God, you have taken God off the throne and put booze on it. When it's a cigarette, you have taken God off the throne and said, I don't need God. Just give me the cigarette. It'll calm me down. I don't need God. Just give me the booze. It'll calm me down. I don't need God. Just give me bad music. It'll calm me down. The comforter has come. You know what you do? Just... you're trying to calm yourself down quick, but don't turn to God whatever you do. Drugs is the wrong comforter. I spit chocolate on my Bible. Drugs is a wrong comforter. People in this world are running to dope to escape. Escape the fact that they need comfort. Their real need for those that are unsaved is salvation. Oh, but saved people turn to it too. Instead of turning to the Holy Spirit. I'm not against all drugs. You've heard me. If you've been here the last couple Sunday nights, I tell you, I think there are medicines that can help us. And I'm for it. I'm for it. But I'm not for us taking medicines when God could have helped with something. Some expect drugs to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You know, you cannot replace the Holy Spirit with drugs without it becoming idolatry. Idolatry. I was talking to one of our men. He's a newer convert here in our church. Been here about a year now. He's so excited about the things of the Lord. He said in my office, he said, "Brother Owens, I'm going to tell you something. I used to do drugs. I used to be a druggie." He said, "But and I know you're going to think I'm crazy." He said, "I'm higher right now serving God than I ever was by doing the drugs out in the world." He said, "It calms me down to know that I'm right with God. It calms me down to have the sin out of my life." He said, "I'm higher right now on Jesus Christ than I ever was living out there and the alcohol and the booze and the drugs." And my friend, that is as true as the day is long. We can do away with all your ways of comforting yourself if you would get down to being real with God and build a relationship with Jesus Christ and quit picking the miserable comforters of this world. Thank God for that cigarette. I feel so good. The comforter has come. You know, something money's the wrong comforter. There are people look for satisfaction in money. You know, money can't take the place of the Holy Spirit. I watch it. I have to tell people, especially married people, I have to say to them, marriage has a problem, husband leaves a wife, vice versa. I say, don't go spend a bunch of money right now. Why? We go on spending binges when something's not going our way. Because we think that things will make us feel better. Don't know what I mean? Not going our way, we just go buy something else, because if we had something new and shiny to play with, it might take our mind off of it, yeah, for a little while. And then the bills will start rolling in, and you have picked a miserable comforter because you are deeper in despair and depression as a result of it, because you turn to things instead of turning to the Holy Spirit of God, which lives within you. See, what you're looking for is God. What you're looking for is the Holy Spirit. And you can't replace God with the Holy Spirit, but we try pretty hard. You see, it is the Holy Spirit of God that should be on the throne of your life. But what we do is we yank him off of there and say, watch this, I'll make myself happy with money. You say, if I could have just a little more, I'll be comfortable. Comfortable. Huh? Comfort. Comfort. Almost sounds like Southern comfort to me. Little more, I'll be comfortable. You know, I wouldn't be like this if I just had enough money. You think money's going to really make you comfortable? Why is it you keep chasing it? Ask Donald Trump if he's truly at peace. Not even going to do it. You're just going to chase it forever all the way till you're old. And then you're going to die. And your wife and her new husband is going to go spend it all. He's probably already helping you behind your back, her behind your back right now. You can't replace the Holy Spirit with money. You've probably heard this before. A businessman was stuck on an island. He and some other passenger on ship. Ship went down. They're all stuck there. Everybody was panicked. We're stuck here forever. They're never going to find us. This businessman, he was calm and cool. No problem. So they all got together and came to him and said, "What in the world? We're going to die out here. We're never going to make it back to civilization. What is it with you, mister?" He said, "I'm a Baptist. He said, well, what does that have to do with it? We're still stuck out here. He said, I'm a tithing Baptist. Well, who cares? He said, I'm the biggest tithing Baptist member of my church. And don't you worry. My pastor will find us. Oh, we have a comforter, but we turn to the wrong comforters. We turn to booze as a comforter. We turn to bad music as a comforter. We turn to drugs as a comforter. We turn to money as a comforter. Hey, listen to me, ladies. When your marriage is not going well, don't turn to another man to comfort that. Oh, some counsel? Sure. Some help? Spiritual help? Sure. But I know many married women who have been hurt by their husbands. While the hurt was going on, she turned to another man and ended up committing adultery and ruining her marriage. She needs to talk to someone. Her husband's been too tense with her. Not necessarily even that he was a bad man. Maybe he didn't do anything wicked. He's just so busy, so caught up in his career. So she turns to another man while the husband is not what she thinks he ought to be. And she gets too close to another man seeking comfort about her own marriage. So she begins to talk about her marriage, too much about her marriage. Then she gets to talking about her sexual relationship with her husband because she needs help with that too. And this other fella, he's right there to hear it and eat it up and to reel her in and reel her in. Let me see if I can help with that. Maybe I could hug you a little bit because he doesn't hug you at home. And a little gentle kiss without a sexual advance, I could do that. And he reels her in and reels her in and they commit adultery and she got her comfort all right. That doesn't come from a man that just guesses whether it happens. It comes from a man that knows it happens because I've counseled thousands of marriages. So a woman, a married woman, goes to another man seeking a comforter instead of talking to God. And she lets another man replace God on the throne of her life. She should have got her counsel from the preacher, or she should have went and got her comfort from the God of the universe instead of turning to some bleeding heart man that was ready to hear it all because you know what? He's got the same problem. You and I, we have a lot in common, babe. Pour your heart out to me. And then give me your body too, because that's the price you're going to pay to get my bleeding ear. It is so quiet in here, you could hear a cigarette drop. You know what? It's hard for some people to accept the truth that the Bible really teaches. Yeah, we get like this. But you know what you got to do? You got to keep lighting them and lighting them and lighting them and lighting them. Oh. There are people just carry around with you everywhere. I got this stuff stuck all over my teeth. So a man does the same thing the woman did. His wife isn't everything she thought he thought she would be. You know, he got to watching too much TV and all these women whores out of Hollywood, and he got to looking at them comparing them to his wife, and he said, I think I can do better. Well, if you married her, you gave her commitment, you're supposed to stay with her, whether she stacks up to what you've seen of the whores in Hollywood or not. She's not everything I want. She's not supposed to be. You're supposed to be everything she wants. Get your eyes off your stingy self and get your eyes back on your wife and back on your kids and decide, I'll serve them till the day I die. Oh, but you know what he can find? He can find him some woman. She's been through everything, and as he begins to tell his story about how his wife, he's unsatisfied with this and unsatisfied with that. There's some woman out there says, oh, honey, rubs him on the back of the neck like this. I understand. We'll cry together. Let's sleep together to make it better. And so, we replace the Holy Spirit with another person and end up in a mess because miserable comforters
or other married people when we're already married. Here's something else. Sleep. Sleep and laziness are the wrong comforters. We think that if we won't go to work, we'll be comforted. Let's just lay around. Best comforter you'll find is work. Humanly speaking, the best comforter you'll find is to go to work and keep yourself busy and keep your mind off your problems. But the very minute something bad happens, we all say, not going to work, going to lay around for a little while. That'll make me feel better. And you know what you do? You lay around. All you think about is your loss. My loss. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. And the devil says, I'm going to pile it on you to the point where I've actually watched people that never went back into the workforce again because the devil's got them so depressed it ain't worth even doing. They're saying, oh, I don't do no good. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. I'll just lay around the house, watch TV, and eat worms. So the business fell apart, so you're going to mourn the rest of your life. Well, stand back up, get out there and build something with your life. But don't go to the wrong comforter of laziness. There are people that they had a loss this week, they're not in church this morning, and they are self-destructing because of it, because had they come here, they would have been told the comforter is alive and well, and they could get their eyes on the right comforter. Sleep and laziness, laying around. Sleeping pills take the place of God's Holy Spirit. It's like getting drunk. Maybe if I could sleep my way through my burdens, if I could just lay around long enough, they'll just go away. You may need to get a shovel and dig yourself out like the rest of us do. So sleep replaces the Holy Spirit. Hey, there are actually miserable human comforters. Job actually had people that tried to comfort him, but they were miserable comforters. Weak Christian friends that are behaving the same way you're behaving, so you can get together and cry on each other's shoulder and feel sorry for each other. Go to your Hollywood talk shows all you want, folks. You just go ahead and turn on your Hollywood talk show to get all your comfort. But you are replacing God with Oprah and Jerry Springer and John Welch and the rest of them. That's what you're doing. Have you prayed at all? Did you spend any time in prayer about your problem? Or you just heard on TV that old John Welch was going to get in our air. We could all cry about it and you'll feel better for a little while. I got news for you. Lost people and people from Hollywood are not the kind of comforter you're looking for. You're looking for the Holy Spirit of God. Your psychic is a liar. It's called witchcraft in the Bible. There's some of that, but that's how you are. You got some talk show host that you watch. You get up in the morning and say, oh,
I can't wait until 3 when Oprah comes on. Oprah comes on and you go,
You say, is this about Oprah? No, it's about you not using the right comforter. Oprah's not the issue.
I'm getting mad and just leave.
Your problem is you're not listening to the issue. The issue is we run everywhere but God to get our comfort. We run to other drunks. There's some of you who say, I get my comfort from all the people that I run around with at work that don't go to church anywhere. Really? That's where I'm most relaxed. That's because you're tipping something other than the Holy Spirit up and drinking it. You see, we ought to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. What we do is we'll find somebody else with a weak marriage. Maybe if we all get together, we'll straighten this out. Maybe you'll make it worse. Hey, food is a comforter. Many run to food to receive comfort. You're looking for satisfaction. Food can't take the place of the Holy Spirit. You drown your sorrows in ice cream, chips, bonbons, and french fries, and heath bites. It's where we get to the point where we're worshiping the created more than the creator. Young people, you know something? Don't you let a boyfriend or a girlfriend become the comforter in your life.
There are young men and young ladies in this building today. You don't get along with your mom and dad. You're confused in life, so you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you'll put out anything you have to in between the two, because what you're really looking is comfort. Young lady after young lady, and there are adult women all across this auditorium, if they would be honest, would tell you this is the truth. Things are falling apart in your teenage years, and a young lady looks to a young man because she really wants a friend and somebody that'll listen, and he will, and then she'll have to pay a price to get his ear. And she loses her purity because she wanted comfort. She should have been able to go to mom and dad, and if nothing else, she should have gone to the Holy Spirit of God to get the comfort that she needed. That's why he sealed him within us. The Comforter has come. The comfort you need is found within you, not without you. It's within you. Why else in the world did he leave us a comforter? The word comforter there is the word paraclete. It means one that runs along beside. It comes up. God himself and the person of the Holy Spirit comes right up alongside you, and he'll help carry your load. And he never puts more of a load on you than what you can handle. You may not let him handle his part because you're busy with all the other comforters of the world, but he will comfort you. Are you saved today? If you're not saved, you do not have this comforter. By the way, if you're saved today, what I'm saying is affecting your heart, and you're saying, that is true, that is true. You better check your salvation if you're sitting out there saying, I don't like that. Because the truth is what born-again people love. They love the truth. But if you're not born again today, you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you. You will have to turn to these other comforters. But if you're born again, even if you have been turning to these comforters, you have the availability of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He is sealed within you. You say, but Brother Owens, born again, how do you do that? You realize you're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. And Jesus paid that penalty with his death, burial, and resurrection. If you'll turn to him, receive him as Savior, ask him to forgive you your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, you're saved. The Holy Spirit is immediately sealed within you. You're on your way to heaven. But wait, you say, well, I'm going to heaven, but I was baptized. Wrong comforter. See, I find my comfort in going to heaven in the fact that I got baptized. Baptism doesn't get anybody to heaven. You picked the wrong comforter in regard to your eternity. You should have no comfort at all if you're depending on baptism to get to heaven, because that's unscriptural. So I'm comforted because I'm a member of a church. That does not matter. Being a member of a church never has gotten anybody to heaven. You say, I'm comfortable with my eternity based on my church membership. Then you should be very uncomfortable, because that won't get you to heaven. Why do good deeds? I'm glad you do. I wish everyone would. But good deeds never got anybody to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, Titus 3:5, but according to his mercy he saved us. So if you've been depending on your good deeds to get you to heaven, you need to get born again, because if your good deeds are what makes you comfortable with your eternity, you should be very uncomfortable. All those things are miserable comforters in regard to eternity. The only true comforter in regard to eternity is salvation by grace through faith. That's the only real comforter. Now, there's somebody sitting out there, you're just as mad at me as you can be about me teasing about the cigarette. Now, let me tell you something. You're missing the whole thing. The whole issue is not cigarettes, booze, rock and roll, and all the rest. The whole issue is here. You've got a Holy Spirit seal inside you. You ought to be running to him for comfort and not anything else. So you're so far off base, you're just all upset about me teasing about a cigarette for a little while. I'm never going to go back. Go turn your radio on the way home and get yourself calmed down. Find somebody that will agree with you so you can get calmed down by some human being. Or do this. Say, Holy Spirit of God, talk to me about this. Talk to me about this. Come on, Holy Spirit of God, I need you. He's right there. Boy, we look for all sorts of comforters. And we will continue to. But I wish we'd really turn to the Holy Spirit of God. Our building, you could ask Brother Bush, all the men that talked to me on the phone, we had a mess. Building was leaking, water everywhere, thousands of gallons of water. Men working around the clock trying to get this building. I'm going to be very honest with you. It's just a building. I'm not panicked about it, not worried about it. I want our building to be first class, kept up, organized, maintained.
this building burns to the ground tomorrow, everything's going to be all right. But if it were one of you that were hurting, I'd weep over that. Because that's what's important. But the comforter said to me, don't you worry about that building. I built thousands of them before, I'm going to build thousands in the future. Let the comforter do his job and quit turning to other comforters. For miserable comforters are them all. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.